Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or The Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's edition. I have to admit, I'm having a fangirl moment right now. I'm a little verklempt, and that's because today's guest, Deborah Fine, is someone whose book has been in my personal library for over a decade now. And I found out about her because she wrote this amazing book that you're going to lose your mind at if you haven't read it. It's called The Fine Art of Small Talk. So can you imagine a better person to have on this show? How do we make small talk on dates, at cocktail parties, at singles events, at meetup groups? So Deborah, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Bella, it's so fun and I'm so thrilled that you invited me. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh. Well, tell us, just start out, tell us your story. Like, how did you, I love your own story as to how you did this. So give us you.
Well, I used to be an engineer, Bella, and I chose engineering. I was great at math, but they told me to be a teacher or an engineer, but they sort of, you know, they didn't think engineer was much of a possibility. Not a lot of women back then, but I chose engineering so I didn't have to chat with people because I hope you find that surprising, but I did not like to chat with people. I did not have the skills, the interpersonal skills to chat with people. And then I'm in the workforce and they tell you to go to a hospitality suite at the end of the industry conference day and they tell you to mingle. And it's like, well, how do you do that? And what do you say? And it was mind-boggling to me because I'm a straight A student. So if you had just told me how to do it and what to say, I would have done it. But nobody seemed to know. So I really was challenged in the conversation department. And I decided to spend some time improving myself. I actually lost a lot of weight during this time of my life where I lost over 75 pounds ultimately.
Wow.
And so here I was, I lost all this weight. And I thought that if you lost weight, that you would get friends and dates, right? I mean, I just thought that's how that works.
Poof, it's magic. It's Fantasia. It's like now I feel really pretty and I look
right.
really pretty.
Right.
So where's the ticker tape parade?
Right. But that didn't work. So I worked on my conversation skills. And then I had this epiphany that maybe I wasn't the only one. And honest to goodness, up till then, I thought, oh, I'm the only awkward person. I'm the only one at a party standing by myself. I'm the only one that doesn't, you know, I go on a date with someone and it feels awkward or uncomfortable. That must be me. It's not him. Oh, no, 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 no. It's me. There's something wrong with me. Or maybe I'm still too fat, or maybe I'm too tall, or maybe because I don't have the right color hair. I mean, it was always, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So I researched it, the topic. I decided to offer it to others. And I did it as a trainer and a professional speaker, a keynote speaker. And that's really my business. I'm primarily a keynote speaker now and offering this topic to professionals because they all have to network and they all have to be rainmakers and cultivate connections with clients and referral sources. But there is a chapter in my book about singles and my heart is very thrilled that you invited me because if you don't mind me telling you a story, I was single, divorced woman, a parent as an adult. And I went to a singles event with my girlfriend and I saw this fella across the way and I live in Colorado. So I hope you don't think this is too corny, but it's true.
I'm dying. Tell every gory detail.
He had a cowboy hat on and he looked at me. Or at least I thought he did. And I looked back and I said to my girlfriend, Audrey, maybe he'll come over here. I mean, he looked at, look at that guy. Maybe he'll come over here. So the evening starts wrapping up, you know, an hour later, he still hasn't come up to me. So I said to Audrey, well, obviously, you know, he didn't really, I'm not his type, right? And she said, Deborah, walk over to him, say hello. I said, I'm not doing that. Are you out of your mind? I'm a woman walking up to a man. Forget about it. Just come on, make yourself do it. Go do it. What have you got to lose? He doesn't even know you have kids. He can't hurt you. Just go over and say hello. So I did. I said, hi, Rex. I said, hi, I'm Deborah. And he said, hi, I'm Rex. And he said, why don't you sit down? And so he was very gracious and really interesting and fun to be with. And he did ask me out on a date. And we did date. So finally I asked him, Rex, you're a home builder in Frisco, Colorado. You used to be an educator with a master's degree. You subcontract everything out. You're very handsome, like 6'3", gorgeous guy. Why didn't you walk up to me if we're having so much fun? Why didn't you walk up to me that night at that event? And what he said to me, Bella, really rings true, and everyone should listen really carefully to this. Because it had never occurred to me. He said, I didn't walk up to you because I'm really shy with women. And I always worry about being rejected. Holy mackerel, Bella. I always thought it was, I thought I'm too tall. I'm too fat. I'm too brown headed. Whatever's wrong with me today. I wore the wrong outfit. And it had never occurred to me that he might be shy or introverted or whatever. And that really propelled me to believe that we all need to take risks in order to find love in our life. A lot of ingredients in dating are all about our packaging, obviously. But part of our packaging that's critical, I think, is our conversation skills. Bella, one of the reasons you and I hit it off is because we're so comfortable together. Well, nobody here wants to date someone they're not comfortable with. If I go on a first date with someone, and in my case, a he isn't, if I don't feel relaxed, if it doesn't feel at ease, I don't care what his credentials are. I don't care how great he golfs or how well he tells a joke. If I don't feel comfortable, I don't want to go on another date. And it goes in both hands. So I believe conversation skills are an important part of our packaging when we look at ourselves and when we look at dating. And I know it's extremely challenging. Some women are in transition. Some men are newly in the game. I'm sorry to call it a game. Some men have lost their spouse. Some women have decided to not focus on their career, maybe focus more on relationships. So we're not adept at this. It's not an art that comes easily to all of us. So it's a big focus of mine.
I
like my dog.
Oh my gosh, I love your dog in the background. I hope you are enjoying Deb's lovely dog yes. Joining us on the Smart Dating Academy.
She's like this big and she's so loud. Oh my.
And God. She just wants to be on the podcast. She wants to be part
of it. No, she wants to let us know we got a package. Okay. It's that time of year.
You know, a young man came to me and, you know, he says, well, you know, I go on a lot of first dates and, you know, and that's about it. I said, well, do you think they want to go out with you for a second date? And he said, yeah, I think so. I said, then what's making you not ask them out? He's like, I don't know what else to talk about on the second date.
Oh my gosh.
So what would you tell him?
Oh, let me give you some ideas of what to say on a first date or a second date or a third date. Number one, be prepared. You know, the worst time to come up with something to talk about is when there is nothing to talk about. So I'm going to ask each and every one listening or watching today to assume the burden of making the other person feel comfortable. Mm. So you walk in prepared to make them feel comfortable. I will come up with things to talk about. I will. And trust me, if they don't respond well, that's not your fault.
No, that's right. Oh, say that again for the people in the back.
If they don't respond well, it's not your fault. And we're going to talk about icebreakers in a minute. Okay. At like a function or a party or whatever. I have some great ideas for icebreakers, but you can walk up to somebody and if they've already decided that you are too tall or they don't like the color of your hair, or they can see that you're an attorney and they don't want to date another attorney, your icebreaker is not going to work. So stop fearing rejection because based on your icebreaker. Your icebreaker is you taking the risk to start this, but you cannot control how someone else responds. For all you know, they see somebody else enter the room that they'd rather talk to, and that's why your icebreaker didn't work. It's not the icebreaker. As long as it's not offensive or, you know, abusive in some way, most any icebreaker will work because everyone's decided before you open your mouth whether they're willing to talk to you or not. We all do that with everything we do in our lives, professionally, socially, and romantically. We decide before they open their mouth whether they're willing to talk to them or not. Look at what you do, Bella. Look at these apps where you go left or right or whatever. People decide based on they're deciding on how they look. In your case, we get to learn about the person, right?
Totally.
But we decide in a split second we don't want to talk to them. So that's on a virtual platform. That's the same thing happens face to face. People, for whatever reason, go, no, I'm not responding to your icebreaker in a positive way because I have chosen not to talk to you.
Wow. And so a lot of that is how we're presenting ourselves, even non-verbally, before
Right. We
open our mouths with our icebreakers. They're taking a look at us. And are there things that we should be aware of as we talk about this, right? We're talking about icebreakers, but I love how you're saying, like, people have already made their decision. So how do we try and end up on the right side of that line? If we get the in-person right swipe, left swipe is bad. That means I don't want to date you. Right swipe is yes. So how do we get right swiped in real life? Like, yeah, you know, Right. Come at me, give me your icebreaker.
In real life, we don't go into a date. Now, a lot of this is done via text, or maybe somebody actually used their phone feature on their phone. That's so old fashioned, I know, but sometimes that can go well, but then we get nervous about the face-to-face because it is different.
Yeah, like if we walk into an event.
Exactly. Or if we're just face-to-face for the first date, and even though we've chatted now for, it could be a week or a month, whatever, finally let's meet each other. So be prepared with some good things. We probably know a little bit about them. So my favorite way to get to know somebody without hitting them, like, an FBI agent. This is an FBI agent. I'm going to try it out on you, Bella. So, Bella, if I met you at an event, what do you do? What do you do for work?
I have a company called Smart Dating Academy, and we do dating and relationship coaching for professional singles.
Oh, great, Bella. And are you from the Chicagoland area, or you're from somewhere else?
I'm from Chicago. Born, traveled a lot to other places, lived in other places, but this is home.
Okay, so what you witness, everyone listening, watching, is an FBI agent. She told me, you know, about her. She actually gave me a great answer. We're going to go back to that in a second because that's a real important part of being a good conversationalist. She gave me some flesh to work with. And when she did, I should have said, well, describe a typical day, or how'd you get into that? Or, you know, what's the greatest challenge of that business? I asked her what she did. If that's how you choose to start, which is not my favorite way to start a conversation because I feel people feel labeled. And some people are in transition, right? Or maybe
I love that point from your book. It changed the way I converse with people. Like, you sometimes you don't know where somebody is in the process, or someone is feeling self-conscious about it. They've just been laid off. They haven't been in the workforce for 30 years. So many of our clients, you know, if they stayed at home and they raised their kids, and that God knows you and I are both moms, that can be a full-time job in and of itself. How do I answer that question? So it's a tricky question. And you reading The Fine Art of Small Talk taught me that.
Oh, thank you, Bill. So if you're in an industry conference, it's okay to say, what do you do? Because we're there to, you know, for that. But no, you don't need to do that. Now, if you know somebody, here, let me do one thing at a time. My favorite way to get to know you without saying, have you been married before? And so if I don't know that, or do you have any kids? Because if they don't have kids, you're going down a rabbit hole. If they do have kids, they probably won't shut up. So just let's not do that either. My favorite way to get to know somebody is to say, besides, you know, getting together tonight, what keeps you busy? What keeps you busy? Now, if I know you work because I've been introduced to you, or because you have a name tag on, or because thanks to Bella's business, I know that you are in IT, or you're whatever. What keeps you busy outside of work? So if you know somebody works, what keeps you busy outside of work? If I know you have kids, if I'm at back to school night, or I take my kids to college, what keeps you busy outside of the kids? Then people can tell you what they want you to know. Oh, I do yoga. Oh, I work as an attorney. Oh, they'll tell you what they want you to know. What keeps you busy is my favorite way Now, so I meet you at, let's say, a fundraiser. What keeps you busy outside of this organization, volunteering for this organization? What keeps you busy? I meet you at a 5K. You're in the starting lineup with me, you know, for the Boulder Boulder here in Colorado. And I say, what keeps you busy outside of running 5Ks? And then you'll tell me what you want me to know. So it's my favorite way to get to know somebody.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Kids, whatever. Okay. So let me go back to something.
I love that so much.
Oh, thank you very much. So I'm trying to stay on track of what there's something else that you said, but okay. Another great way to break the ice with somebody is based on free information. So if you are at an event or a party or whatever it may be, or on a date, the free information we have is we're at a restaurant or a bar or a museum or wherever, a ball game. You know, is this your favorite team? The free information we have is we're at this game. What got you interested in baseball? Have you been to this exhibit before? What other activities do you do besides go to museums? What have you heard about this movie? So the free information is we're at a museum. The free information is we're going to a movie. The free information is we're going to see Pink. You know, what other concerts are some of your favorites? So use the free information that you have. If you're at a fundraising event, what got you involved in this volunteer organization? Because the free information we have is that we're both at the same volunteer organization. Okay. So, okay. The other free information we have, like today, this is the free information I have. It's based on occasion. Okay. The other examples I just cited is free information based on location. We're at a fundraising event. We're in a classroom or whatever. Now let's
make at somebody's party. And exactly. How do you know the host?
How do you know the host or hostess or the bride or groom or whatever? Free information about occasion. Okay. What's your favorite? Right now, I assume this is going to come out somewhere around the holidays or after. What's your favorite tradition during the holidays? What's the best gift you've ever given? What's the best gift you've ever received? What are you looking forward to in the new year? That's free information based on occasion. If I know you're from Chicago, and usually when I meet somebody, you know, I find out, are you from here or from somewhere else? Oh, I'm from Chicago. So if I was visiting Chicago, what's your number one favorite place for me to go visit? What's your number one favorite place? And preferably something that I wouldn't have thought of. Okay, that's based on, okay, the occasion of where we are right now, the time of year we're at. So that's another great way to start a conversation. So if I'm on a first, let's go back to that young man, that gentleman, he's going on a second date and he doesn't know what to say. This is what I would ask him to say to him or her or they say, so catch me up. What's new with work since the last time we got together? So instead of saying, how was work this week or how was your week? Catch me up. What's new with work since the last time we talked? Or bring me up to date on your life, or catch me up on the family. If the person has kids, bring me up to date on the kids. So here's the catch-all phrases. Bring me up to date, catch me up on, what's new with work since the last time I saw you, Bella? Instead of how's work, because if I say how's work, Bella won't do this, but most people will. How's work? They'll say good. How was your week? Great. What's new? Nothing. That's how people talk. So I'm not necessarily just saying an open-ended question. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your work. You know, how did you come up with that idea? Those are great ways to launch conversations. I'm talking about, instead of saying, how are you, Bella? The next time, if I'm lucky enough to talk to you, I'll say, bring me up to date, Bella. What's new in your life since the last time I saw you? And then you're likely to know that I mean it. Because most conversation is rhetorical. That's why that young man doesn't know what to say. Because when people say, how are you? We don't even know you really mean it, or how's work? So nobody gives a good answer. So the conversation sort of just stalls. That's not good.
I love that. And let's go back to something when you started mock dating me, what do you do? Okay. And right. You said, I gave you a good answer.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about our responsibility in being a good conversationalist. I talk to my clients all the time about this.
Bella, this is so important. I call it playing the conversation game. Bella, I don't know if she comes by it naturally or she was conscious when she did it. When I asked her where she was from, are you from Chicagoland? Or she not only said she grew up there, she's from there, but she said, I travel a lot. Now, she gave me something to talk with her about. Obviously, we're, this is a business arrangement right now, an interview, but if we had been, we had been out socially, I would get to say, well, what kind of places have you visited? Is it international? Where, what's on your calendar for next year? She gave me something to talk about with her. This is such a critical part of being a good conversationalist, playing the conversation game. Most of us think, oh, my life is boring, or I have nothing to talk about, or if they're interested, they'll ask. Well, no, actually, the conversation ball needs to go back and forth, not like a batting cage with a million questions, and not where somebody monopolizes. So if someone says to you on a date or at a party, how was your week? Give them an answer. Well, the week was good. We were able to hire a new person on our team, so that's going to be a big relief. Now I can ask, well, what role was that on your team? What was it like not having that person be on board? How was your weekend? Great. I went skiing for the first time this season. That's a good answer. I went golfing. I watched a TV series. I finished a good book. I went to the gym. Oh, I didn't know you went to the gym. What do you do there? Oh, tell me about the movie. Do like Bella. Give me a factoid so I have something to put my hands on, so I have something to talk with you about. Disclose what you're willing to disclose. That does not mean, I'm sure, Bella, you would counsel, and so you've had experts on this, to go on and on about your horrible ex-spouse. Does not mean to moan and groan about what dates you've been on. It doesn't mean anything like that. What it means is, how are you? So he says to me, how are you? Do you know, I walk in there prepared. I'm great. I had a really early appointment, but I still made it to the gym. So I'm pretty happy about that, you know, because so now he can say, well, what time did you have to get up? What, you know, in order to do that. So I tell him, are you an early bird? Are you a night owl? There's stuff to talk about. So how have you been since the last time I saw you, Deborah? You know, I've been great. I have a son in New York City and he visited us last week. So that was really wonderful. Oh, now, you know, I have a son. Now, you know, he lives in New York City. That's sort of handy. How you doing, Deborah? I'm good. I need to get home. I have a hard stop tonight because I have a dog that I need to walk. Oh, I didn't know you had a dog. Let people know about yourself. How you doing? I'm great. I'm really excited. I just started planning a vacation for the summer. I think I'm looking at possibly going on a trek in Europe. And then you stop. You don't give all the details for the trek in Europe. You don't brag about your trek to Europe. You just let people know this is something on your radar. And now they have something to talk with you about. Give people an answer in a sentence, but you must be prepared. People go out with me. They're my friends. How you doing? Good. What's new? Nothing. How are the kids? Same. Really? Well, at least I could have another cocktail. So that'll make this a little easier because I am so frustrated with lazy conversationalists.
Exactly. And this is the thing, you know, oh, I'm an introvert. I'm like, okay, right. That's a convenient label you're giving yourself. This is a skill that you can learn how to do. And you have to do two good things. I'm going to paraphrase what Deborah was saying, smart daters, right? You want to be a good conversationalist by giving people meat. I call them, we say at Smart Dating Academy, they're conversational treasures. And you're a treasure hunter, okay? So when you're talking to somebody, you're looking for the gem. It's like a video game. Somebody let out a gem. Oh, I'm a dating coach. Oh, I've traveled to a lot of places. I've lived in Chicago. Oh, gem. Put it in your satchel, and then you can come back to that. Wait, you know, a minute ago, you said that you had a son that came to visit you from New York. Does he live in Manhattan? How long has he been there? Right? And so continue to deposit those gems in your little satchel so that what is everybody afraid of? That awkward silence, the pregnant pause. Listen for those things. And come back to them, right? You know, a minute ago, you said something that I was really curious about, right? And then somebody will be like, oh, wow, you were interested in what I had to say. You were listening that well, that we're going to circle back to something. These are you. We all have to play a role in this. You can't just expect, everybody's like, oh, I want it to be fun. You have to bring the fun. You have to be prepared. Give conversational treasures. I don't ever want to hear you, if you work with me or you're going to work with me, and if I say, how are you? Update me on what's going on. How are you? Fine. No, I want you to give me a conversational treasure. Okay. And I'm going to get it, and I'm going to ask you about it right away.
You know, that is a beautiful way to put that, Bella, a conversational treasure. But it takes an investment, doesn't it? You don't just get treasures or gems. They don't fall from the sky. So the investment is, you know, he, she, they is going to ask you how you've been, how work is, how your week is, how it's going, what brought you there. Wait, before you walk in the door, think, how will I answer this today? How will I answer this today? Am I reading a good book? Did I see a good movie? Did something happen with one of my kids? Just anything to add value to the conversation and to contribute.
Absolutely. 100%.
And so being an introvert is, you know, I'm an introvert. An introvert is someone who is not fueled by people. They don't get energy that way. But we are looking to meet a person, right? So if you're going to meet someone, you don't have to change who you are, but you do have to take that energy. It's the same energy people like me use to go to the gym every day. I don't want to go to the gym every day. I don't love the gym.
Me neither.
I don't get a high. My husband gets a high, but I go to the gym. So I'm asking introverts, invest the same kind of energy in order to see if you can cultivate a connection with the person at the party, across the table from you, at any occasion you might be at.
Absolutely. And one other great thing that we talked about, it's how do you not be that FBI agent that makes the date feel like a deposition, right? So the other thing I noticed is when Deborah was rapid firing questions at me, my perception would have been, she's not really listening to what I'm saying. She's going from question to question to question. She's got an agenda at this point. And that doesn't always feel good. Sometimes we think, well, isn't my job to be interested in people? Shouldn't I be asking a lot of questions? Yes. But remember, you're playing the gem game. Okay. You have to take, it's like being a journalist, right? What did they just say? Tell me more about that.
Right. That's exactly right. And that leads me to another idea for your audience to think about. And that's what I call digging in deeper. So I'm married, my second marriage, and I've been married, I'm happy to say, for all those of you who have to start over, I've been married for 30 years.
To Rex?
No, Rex. And you know what? Let's talk about Rex real quickly. And I don't want to.
We were all thinking it, including me. I'm it Rex?
I didn't marry Rex. And let me add, you know, I wrote this in my book, in the foreword. Rex was afraid to walk up to me because I might reject him. And I spent a lifetime being afraid to walk up to even the Bellas of the world, the friendliest people in the room, because I was worried they'd reject me. We think that's a risk. And all you introverts, I want you to hold on what I'm about to say. Is that really risky? Because it feels risky. But as I made the joke, well, he didn't even know I had kids, so he couldn't hurt them. So you can't hurt what matters most to me, then who cares? But, and this is very somber for a second. Sorry, Bella, but Rex died, and Rex, and that isn't why we didn't, I mean, we stopped dating because he, whatever. So, but he died in a car accident. And I'll tell you, that was more poignant to me because here, this man was afraid. He wasn't afraid to get in a car, but you should be. Trust me, those idiots out there, be afraid to get in a car.
Amen.
But why are we afraid to walk up to somebody at a party? So I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer.
No, it's true.
But it is true. So, but let me go back to this tip about digging in deeper. So tonight at the end of my workday, what is my spouse going to say to me? It's just what dates say to people. How was your day? Right? How was your day? Does anybody out there possibly think he means it? Like, you know, even though we've been married forever, does he mean it? Oh, you know, is there a game on tonight? If there is, probably not. He probably doesn't mean it. In this rhetorical conversation world we live in, where how are you? How was your holiday? how are your daughters? How's work? Means hello. It's all it means. It's a greeting. Dig in deeper to let people know you meant it. How's the project? So that's how you start the conversation, let's say, because you know she, he, they is working on a project. How's the project going? Good. So, you know, what's been the greatest challenge? So how was that vacation, Joe? It was good. So what was the highlight? That's your digging in deeper. How was the program last night? Good. So what was your number one takeaway? Oh, so I know you were going to meet with your girlfriends last week for drinks, you said, and how did that go? Oh, good. So, you know, what'd you learn? What, you know, that you didn't know about one of your friends that's new in her life? That's a digging in deeper question. You're letting somebody know, I really mean it. So if my husband, well, not if, when he walks in tonight, he'll say, how was your day? I'll say, good. If he then says, what did you have on your plate today? Or tell me about your work today. Then I know my husband really means, how was your day? So dig in deeper with one more question. Now, as Bella alluded, not a third question. If the second question doesn't work, if he says, so what'd you have on your plate today? And I say, same old, it means I don't want to talk about my day, or let's move on to something else, or just I'm busy right now. I've got another agenda. Not a good time to chit chat. So, but it's up to us to assume the burden of digging in deeper and saying to somebody, how's it going? Good. So what's new in your life since the last time I saw you?
And side note, when your husband asks you, how was your day? You're like, I was on the most amazing podcast today. Oh, I have a new friend in Chicago.
No, but wait till I tell him. It's smart dating. And then he'll turn white and might have a heart attack. Smart dating? Why are you on a podcast about smart dating? What's going on in your mind?
You're like, honey, 48% of Americans are unmarried. We need
is that true, Bella?
The fine art small talk. 118 million unmarried Americans in this country.
But I will tell you, and cut me off if you don't want. But when I met Steve, I was fixed up with him. So this was before internet dating. So 30 or before, if there were coaches, I didn't know they were there, like yourself, or smart academies where I could have gone. A woman in my book club, and I've been in the same book club now for 40 years, if you can imagine, Bella, but way back then, she said, you're single now, and my periodontist is single. I mean, he's getting divorced or whatever. I'm going to fix you up. She said, do you know him? And I said, yeah, I know him. I know who he is. I've seen him. No, thank you. I don't want to meet him. What are you talking about? I said, he's too skinny. You know, I don't want a guy that's skinnier than me. And plus, I saw him at the grocery store, which is true. And he looks so depressed. I don't need more problems right now. I have a lot of problems. So
a depressed, skinny periodontist.
Right. And a month later, she said, Deb, you know, you really need to go out with, we called him Dr. Tillis in those days. You really need to go out with Dr. Tillis. And she said, you need friends that are single like you, that have kids, not romantically, but just as a friend. Okay. So he comes to the door, and, you know, I thought, oh, geez, Louise. And so his dress wasn't so great either. So he took me to the dinner, and I'm telling you, Bella, this is a fact. I fell in love with my now 30-year husband that night at dinner. And do you know why I fell in love with him?
Not his clothes.
It wasn't his clothes. I think he was in a dark place, actually. He wasn't the cheery person I know now. It was, the conversation was so great. We had such chemistry that it didn't matter about anything else. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. He's great. And he's now dressed perfectly, because guess who dresses him? But my point is you can really feel chemistry with people. He showed a sincere interest. He didn't monopolize the conversation. And that's a lot of that goes on in dates. You know, people are nervous and become FBI agents, but people are also nervous and we're asked a question. And then we just keep talking about ourselves. My rule about talking about myself is I'm allowed to talk about myself 3-4 minutes, five max. So if you ask me to tell you how I got into my work then after 4 minutes, I should throw the ball back. And how did you get into healthcare? Tell me about that. Always that ball should be going back and forth. If I do talk about my divorce after 4 or 5 minutes, even if you're showing a great interest, I need to say, tell me about you. Tell me about your past relationships and what's been good and what's not been so good for you. Tell me, oh, my vacation was great, blah, 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 3 minutes. Tell me about your favorite vacation, or what vacation are you looking to? Because most of us, even introverts, especially introverts, become monopolizers when we think somebody is really interested in what we have to say, and we lose track of time and we're still talking about ourselves.
I love that. And that's more typically an introvert problem.
Yes, it is. And it is because people like you, Bella, she nods when, even though this is virtual, she's nodding all the time. Her body is eagerly listening. It's hard to give eye contact, but she is actually giving me eye contact. When somebody does it, and then this is the other thing Bella does that's really important. Everybody listen. She gives verbal cues. Really? Oh, well, then what happened? Oh, she didn't necessarily say all of these. What happened first? Well, what happened next, Deborah? Oh, that's good. Oh, that's, you know, that's a great idea. If you don't give verbal cues, people don't feel listened to. So one side of the coin is give verbal cues like Bella to encourage me to keep talking. On the other hand, if someone is like Bella, giving verbal cues, nodding, eye contact, that doesn't give you permission to talk about what you're talking about for more than 5 minutes. Just because she looks interested, and she may be, you know, Bella's really interested because she is an authentic, genuine person. It's still not okay. 5 minutes is enough to talk about your golf game, your pilot program, your brilliant idea, whatever, and then find out about Bella. Don't lose track of time. Make sure this is a volleyball game and not a batting cage.
That's true. And I love, love, love that advice, right? 5 minutes. And you can sort of see, you can edit it, like feel in your body, like, have I been talking too much? And sometimes someone, and I can tell they're a pretty skilled conversationalist. I'll ask them questions about what they're doing. And then they'll talk and talk and talk. And it's like, but I'm truly interested. And they're like, enough about me. I want to know this about you. And I right. will immediately, I'm like, I appreciate that. I want to know more about this. We will come back to me, but keep going. If someone redirects you and says that, you're okay.
Right.
But right. now I don't always want to do that with people. And you're right. There are people that just at a certain point you're like, and if you see somebody's shoulders sort of slump down, or if they're sort of looking over your shoulder to see who else just walked in, right. it's time to give the other person a turn. It's like kindergarten rules. And now it's her turn to talk. She gets the talking stick. We have the talking stick in our house. Like, we all want to talk over each other. Who's got the talking stick?
Right, right. But I would say that, Bella, you're a pretty unique individual. I think most of us, I'm pretty assertive in that way too. I'll say, no, I really want to hear a little bit more because I'm interested in going to Ireland as well. Okay. But most people won't do that. So it is really important just to be cognizant of time and show an interest in the other person so that it's somewhat equal, if not really equal. Listen, Bella, we all know our own stories. We all know our own experiences. What we don't know is the other person's. And that's what we want to learn about. Now, if somebody's sitting there and won't shut up, you know, and boring me to tears, I don't want to sit and listen to it. And that I don't want to date him again.
No, I had a great guest on here months ago. His name is Larry Kaufman. And he said, there's people that show up and throw up. And right. that always cracked me up, right? Like, that's not how you make authentic connections with people. So be really cognizant that, like you're saying, it's a tennis match. You got to hit the ball back and forth so that, and one day that person's going to come into your life, daters, I know, where it's going to be like a Deb and Steve conversation where you're right. like, oh my gosh, this right. was so easy. And we just went there and it was like, yeah, da 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 da. And it was amazing. It was, and that will happen to you. But these are such important skills that she is talking about. You can use these on dates. You can use them at work. You can use them over any holiday, wherever you go, at work, in the grocery store, right? You can start to make small talk with people, even in a grocery store. You know, I remember standing in a grocery store and there was some guy behind me and I was, you know, and we all work on our skills. I'm like, what would I say if I wanted to chat with this guy if I was a single person? He had like 18 apples, right? All lined up like where you would put the baby in a cart. I was like, wow. I'm like, you love apples. And he just started laughing. He's like, this is actually for a project at my kid's school that I had to have this many apples, right? And it's just, it's funny. It was non-threatening. It was using contextual clues, like Deborah said. Like, I didn't have to say, so tell me about your mother. So inappropriate. Over the line, just use what's in his cart. There were a lot of apples. I'm like, you love apples.
be like Bella. Is there an acronym for that? BLB. Be like Bella and be observant. Be observant. If you see not only what she, but if you see somebody's got a T-shirt or whatever, or they're carrying a Starbucks cup, or they use an Android instead of an Apple. You know why that option? You know what prompted you to select an Android over an Apple, or an Apple, what's your favorite app, or whatever it may be. Be observant, show an interest in people. That's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. It's being aware of people. And extroverts, we give them a lot of credit for, in most cases, not all cases, being charismatic and definitely more outgoing. But that doesn't mean they're great conversationalists. They tend to have so much energy around them and get so much attention that they do talk too much, unfortunately. They don't take the time to really show a genuine interest, really listen. Like what Bella said before is so important, to be present, to remember, if Bella and I, let's say, got to go out for coffee, she would actually be the type of person that was so present and such a good listener that she might ask me, well, tell me about your son in New York City. Because you see what Bella did? She really listened to what I said. You don't have to use everything during each conversation, but you do have to try your best to retain it so you can learn about this person, so that you can use this another source of free information in further conversation, right?
Absolutely.
You have to be a great listener. And Bella's being a great listener because that is she's the host of a podcast. So that's her role right now. But folks, we have to be like Bella. I love this new acronym I just came up with. We have to be like Bella when we're at a function, when we're at a table of eight, when we're at a party. Now, if somebody is boring you, if they are, then you need to exit them. Or if you're just not interested, that's fine. But to sit there and sort of cloud over or have no idea what he just said is not fair and it's not good. So even if you're stuck with somebody, it's your boss. You have been fixed up on a date and you're out to dinner. Be present. Be a good listener. You don't have to go out on a date again, but don't let your mind wander. Obviously, I'm sure you've had people on, or if you haven't, you tell your the people you work with at Smart Academy Dating to, you don't have your phone, you don't have distractions, but be like Bella and really listen so that you've learned more about them, and also so that you're a kind and generous person to be with.
I love that. Well, thank you. Be like Bella. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, what about that? Two owns the domain. Only one L. There's a chance nobody was smart enough to grab that from GoDaddy, Bella. It's a chance. Unlikely, but
I don't know about you. My gosh. You can't
even get your kids' domains anymore. It's just crazy. But also, we talked about playing the conversation game, answer with a sentence. Also, be prepared for self-disclosure. You can start a conversation by playing the conversation game. Oh, I'm excited to see you. I wanted to, I had such a great week last week. I've been under a lot of pressure at work. We've had just a lot of stressful cutbacks, and we brought in a new person. So, I'm back to 40 hours. It's been great. You've disclosed something about yourself. Oh, I had such a great weekend. I actually tried yoga again, and it went better than it had the first time. I mean, that's how you start a conversation.
Right. And that's being a little bit vulnerable, right? You're sharing something about yourself that's interesting, and you want to keep it. Again, is it violating any boundaries even for yourself? Like, you don't have to go dark. We all have stuff, right? It's part of life. There's the good stuff and the bad stuff. But especially when you're meeting people organically for the first time, stay with the good stuff, stay with the positive, keep the conversation upbeat if appropriate.
Right. I mean, the other thing is a lot of us don't even think it's interesting that we do yoga, or that we met the host in college and now we've been reunited 25 years later or 15 years later. But that is interesting. That's how we connect with people, is to just share. And if I share, when I tell people I've this is my second marriage, you don't know how many people will say, oh, it's mine too. Or I was married and now I'm dating. I mean, but somebody's got to disclose it first. But if you disclose you go to the gym, they'll say they go to the gym. If you disclose you have a vegetable garden every summer and it's one of your favorite things to do, then they're more likely to disclose something about themselves.
Right. If you disclose, hey, or if you ask, why didn't you walk up to me? He disclosed, I was afraid of rejection. Right. And you were afraid of rejection, right? Exactly. I come back to that because one of the things about talking to strangers and dating, it's all about rejection. And
it is.
You know, through Deb's amazing story with this tall, amazing, handsome guy that was there, right? It's like two sides. What is it? You know, on a mathematical equation, if there's, you know, you can cancel certain things out. If there's a two in the numerator and two in the denominator, they cancel each other out. We are all afraid of rejection. So if you can physically imagine in your mind, let's cancel it out. Because if I'm afraid of rejection and you're afraid of rejection and he's afraid of rejection, well, shit, we're all afraid of rejection. So just let's just have some fun. Because so what if they don't talk back to you?
Right.
So what? You're not dead. Nobody wrote it up in the New York Times. It's
exactly.
Okay. Move on to the next person, right? Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to respond to you. And that doesn't mean that you suck at small talk. And remember, my favorite quote of Deb's, small talk leads to big talk. You can't just walk in and say, tell me about your mom, right? You got to start with the apples.
Well, and small talk is the appetizer for the relationship. You will hopefully, if this is the person that you're interested in, go down a path and a journey where you get to know each other better, where you do have the big talk and where you actually have a romantic relationship. But it starts with small talk. That is the appetizer. And small talk isn't just the weather or sports, but it's just really important that it, you consider as important, certainly as your haircut, your smile, or your the outfit that you're wearing. And two things that Bella said. Number one, it is up to me to take the risk. And so let me just highlight just a challenge to everyone that's listening. Turn this into a task. I would imagine anybody involved with the Smart Academy dating is great at tasks. Possibly well-educated, certainly very professional. We're great at tasks. My sweater is clean and nice today. You look great, Bella. My hair is fixed. We're great.
Your hair that you don't have to color.
Right. And by the way, I disclosed that and then you disclosed about yours. Did you?
I color my hair.
Okay,
you got to
I brought it up. I started the topic. But okay, so if I do this for myself to this day. When I enter a party, now I'm not looking to meet somebody romantically, but I am going to meet them either professionally because it's networking or socially because it's a volunteer organization that I care about, or because you invited me to your daughter's getting married, which trust me, folks, she's not getting married. She's too young, but so you invite me to the baby shower. I don't know anybody there, Belle. I've never met any of your friends. I've never met your daughter. So I walk into that wedding shower the same way I walk into a networking event. I tell myself, Deborah, you're going to meet three new people or one new person or two new. I get to pick the number. The task is mine to pick, but I must accomplish it. So I walk around that wedding shower the same way I do a networking event. I walk up to a new person. I introduce myself and I say, so how are you connected to the bride? Because it's a bridal shower. I go to a networking event. What brings you to this event? What's your connection to the event? But I have to talk to two new people or three new people. And then guess what I get to do? Especially if you're an introvert, you'll be able to identify with this. It's your task. You're single. You don't even know if he's single. You don't know that maybe. If it's not a singles event, you don't know that. You're just there to meet as many people as possible because there's so much power in meeting new people. That person may be the person that introduces you to the right person. So you need, just like who introduced me to Steve, a person. So every person, every conversation is an opportunity. So turn it into a task. Once I've met my task, I've met three new people. Guess what I get to do, Bella?
Get a drink.
Get a drink. I like to drink. or leave early. I like to leave early. I'm exhausted. This wore me out. I just want to go home and put up my feet, have a glass of wine and read a book. Or I get to go out to the reception area, play with my little device, scroll a bit, and then come back in after a deep breath. Either way, turn this into a task and you'll be so much better at it. Really. And you know, Bella also, be like Bella, that grocery store anecdote that she gave us, this is really important. Before I ever turned this into a business and wrote a book or anything, I needed to practice, because practice doesn't make perfect, but it makes you better. And so I told myself, you have to talk to 3 new people a week. So I would talk to people at the grocery store, back to school at night, in line for the post office. And I would just say things like, I would, you know, what are you mailing today? Or tell me about your kid or whatever I would do. And it started getting, I don't know if it was easier. It just wasn't as awful. Yeah. They weren't rejecting me. I didn't die. That's a really good thing. I didn't die. And I guess I think I was afraid I would die. So make yourself a few times a week, meet somebody new, say hello. Mm-hmm. Even if you feel a little defeated, that's what, you know, smart dating is all about. I think is treating it the same way we treat other things in our life, fitness, professional, you know, opportunity, all those, well-being, treat it that same way. Put that energy into it.
That's right. And this is something, like Deb is saying, you, and we teach this at Smart Dating Academy, right? Smart daters, you know, it's you, this is a skill that can be developed. It's not something that's just bestowed upon you at birth. And you, Deborah, fairy godmother, puts, you are a good conversationalist. Yes, it comes easier to some people than others, but people that are usually truly good conversationalists have developed that skill. And this is a skill that you can develop as well. So don't tell yourself the bad story. Well, I'm just this, I'm just that. Deb went into engineering for that reason. So I didn't have to talk to people, right? And then realized, oh God, I do have to talk to people in the hospitality suites, right? And not only learn the skill, but put together a system that you all can read about. I'm going to put links to her book in the show notes, you guys, because I read it a long time ago.
Thank you.
And it's amazing. And let me ask you about, you said something interesting that made me want to ask this. Sometimes when we get to an event, let's say we say, I'm going to talk to 3 people. And there's that one person who's just like, blah, 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 right? And they're talking and you're like, okay, how does one exit a conversation gracefully without hurting the person's feelings?
Okay. First of all, let's stop worrying about other people's feelings. And I don't mean we shouldn't say gotta go, or be abrupt, or this is awful. So most of us, to get away from people, say, I need, Bella, I need to get coffee. I haven't gotten enough caffeine today. I need to, I see another friend of mine here. I want to make sure to touch base with her. So just make sure when you do, if when you say I need, if you do that strategy, I'm going to give you another one that's great. If you use that strategy, I need to get coffee, Bella, on your way to the coffee pot, if you run into someone you know, you cannot start talking to them. You said you were getting coffee. So you meet up with somebody else, you say, give me a second, I'm going to get a cup of coffee, I'll be right back. Or
come with me to the coffee.
Join me and let's go get some coffee. So just don't burn bridges. Don't hurt people's feelings by saying I need to do something and then you don't do it. Okay. So the other way. So now somebody's going on and on about whatever.
Show up and throw up.
Yeah. Right. This is what I'm gonna give them a white flag. A white flag is what they do in car racing. It indicates to the drivers, we have one more lap, and then this is over. So here's my one more lap. Here's Bella. You don't mind me disclosing you have a 20-year-old daughter in college, do you?
No, everybody knows. My daughter, Jaden, is at Indiana. People know my life.
Great. She's at Indiana. That's cool. Okay. So here's Jaden. So let's pretend, be like Bella would never do this. So this has to be somebody else we're making out, but you'll get the drift. So, oh yeah, my oldest is in college in Indiana. She's just amazing. Like she took this class and it's so rigorous and she's succeeded at this and she plays lacrosse. I'm making stuff up here. I don't know about Jaden. And, you know, I'm certain she's going to go on to medical school because she's so smart. And I don't want to hear one more word about Jaden. I really don't. I get you're proud. but you've talked too much about Jay. You didn't even ask me about my family. Tell me about your family, Deborah, right? Let's pretend. After a few minutes of this, I want to get away. Or let's pretend she's just being wonderful, Bella, and we're talking, but I still want to get away because I promised myself I'd meet two more people and I've got to meet them, right? Because it's too easy to be with the Bellas of the world. And that's why we stay with them, because they're so friendly and they're so warm. Why would we want to leave them to be with somebody else? But then we don't meet new people.
Right. You got to go and meet new people.
So Bella's either going on and on about her daughter or just being her warm, wonderful self. Either way, we must extricate ourselves because we're serving ourselves now. Use the white flag. Bella, gosh, Jaden sounds like a terrific student. So at least, I'm sorry about this, son. I'm going to get up and move my son for 1 second. There. Colorado, we're famous for our sunshine. So
I love that.
One
sunshine
more.
State.
And then I'll wrap this up. Okay. So, oh my gosh.
The sun is coming directly into her eyes for those of you listening versus watching.
Right. So what we need to say, here's my white flag. Gosh, your daughter sounds so accomplished. So, you know, if I believe that, if not, I'll say, wow, she really has an interesting trajectory. Maybe I'll say it that way if I think there's too much bragging going on. Either way, I'm going to acknowledge what you've said, show appreciation if I possibly can. And then here's my white flag. You know, I need to go in a minute. I see a couple other friends walked in and I want to catch up with them. But before I go, Bella, tell me, what would you say the number one ingredient is to being a successful parent these days? I've let her know. I'm almost gone. This is almost over. And you, Bella, can get out of this with dignity if you will answer my question that I've just supplied. Now, the Bellas of the world will hear that. They'll say, I'll say, wow, that vacation sounds great. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to hear which port you enjoyed the most. I've got about a minute left before I want to meet the speaker before the speaker disappears. So I need to get back to my office or whatever you need to do. So the person can wrap it up in a minute and go. Now, if they don't wrap it up, if they're a monopolizer and they can't stop talking about their vacation, that's what, like I said, I need to touch base with these people. I don't want them to think I hurt, you know, I would ignore them at a party. Maybe we'll catch up later and you exit. But you've given them a warning. If it doesn't work, it's their fault. I will not allow someone to hold me hostage.
Mm.
But I don't want to lie to them either. And by lying, I mean, I'm not going to say I need to go to the bathroom. And then this is my husband's strategy. And then not go to the bathroom.
Not go to the bathroom because that's like, oh, you just wanted to escape me.
Exactly. So at least you can go to the bathroom and pretend, you know, just close the door, do whatever.
Right.
But But you know, we don't leave people for two reasons. One is, and you sort of hit on this, Bella, we don't want people to feel abandoned. And the other reason is because it's too comfortable to be with them. Like maybe I run into somebody and pretend I'm single and she's a mom, she's divorced, she has kids, she went through this and that and this. And then I'm not meeting men, but I'm there to meet men. You know, we all need to make friends. If you are single, I hope that the best advice I ever got was from my girlfriend that fixed me up with Steve. She said, you need friends that are like you. It's a couple's world out there. You've been in a couple, you got divorced. You need to be with other people, men and women who are single like you, period. I think. So we also, if I'm a woman, if I was single again, I would be making new girlfriends all the time too. Because how are you going to meet other people? Through girlfriends. Not that they're necessarily going to fix you up, but they're going to invite you to parties or events or occasions. And that's how you will meet somebody and the right person for you.
That's right. And don't eschew and say no to events. Like, I don't need more. I need to meet guys, right? That's it. It's like, look, if you walk into an event and there's 57 women and 4 guys, don't roll your eyes and go, this was a total bust. Every one of those 57 women in the room, ladies and gentlemen, they know all of them have a brother, a cousin, some guy or some woman in their life that is single, that is undateable for them. But what happens when you are a good conversationalist and you are interested and curious about that person and you've done your part in the conversation, they'll probably like you and they might go, gosh, you know, I think you'd be, I, yeah, my brother's single. Would you be interested? Could I connect you guys via email? Oh my God, look at what just happened. So look at everything as a potential spot to meet people and bring your best A game. And you have now been, all of you listening, have the amazing kind of, you've had the luck and my luck to hear the amazing Deborah Fine giving you the fine art of small talk. I mean, you are amazing. Are there any last gems you want to leave?
Well, I do want to just say what you just said, Bella. I issue the invitation. Also, it's up to us to ask our friends. If you know someone, I am looking to meet somebody. Because if you don't issue the invitation, why would I think to fix you? I mean, I might, because I'm very proactive in that regard, paying the universe back. But you need to ask people. I mean, this is a true story that I just learned yesterday. I went to a funeral. I was very sad. This man had three sons. The middle son grew up to be an orthopedic surgeon in LA. He's divorced with two little kids. Okay. Guess who he's dating now? Guess who he's dating? You won't even believe it. Sophia, is it Viraga or from
Vergara?
Vergara. This young man, born and raised in Colorado, orthopedic surgeon, I'm not giving anything away. Everybody, all through my little chats, a picture of him in People magazine with Sophia. So yesterday at the funeral, I said, how did they meet each other? I didn't ask him because he lost his father. I mean, that's not a good time.
So it was the kid who's, so his father was.
He lost his father. Father died. I went to the funeral. So I asked somebody else there, how did he meet Sophia? Did she have orthopedic surgery or what happened? And it was as simple as his other brother, the youngest, Ryan, his wife works in plastic surgeon's office. And she said to Sophia, because she knew that Sophia was single, I know the perfect person for you. I think you'd really enjoy him. It's my brother-in-law. And that is exactly how they met. Now, I don't know how the romance is going. She did not attend the funeral. And I'm not saying they're even like Taylor and Travis. I'm just saying that there's been a picture in People magazine and Us magazine. They met because somebody took the time to say, I think you'd be a good fit. But it's good to ask for that too. If you ever think of anybody, I'm on the market. I'd really like to meet people, especially people that are your friends or family. So that's
all. Sophia must have been really nice to her.
Yes, right? Well, that too. But it took a lot of, that's a risk that this young wife, who's, I don't know if she's a receptionist or a nurse, I have no idea, said, I think there's somebody I think you should meet. We should all do that for other people, whether we're single or married, or we should all be proactive. But I'll leave you with this. And if that's not a good example, then I don't know what is. And that is, every conversation is an opportunity. I mean, unless somebody's a jerk, every conversation is an opportunity for success, period. I mean, maybe it'll end up you just find a babysitter because she has a daughter that's the right age for you, for your kids. Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But the worst part is that we try to build community. We try to cultivate connections when we're in need. What we should be doing is doing that all the time.
You're right.
Try to help other people, and then hopefully they'll do the same for us.
100%. Be a giver.
Be a giver, for sure. I mean, I just got booked for Palm Springs for a keynote because I met this woman. I got upgraded for free 3 years before COVID, so quite a while ago, and we hit it off and da-da-da-da-da, and she said, there's an opportunity here, and I'd like to recommend you. Are you available that day? All just from small talk on an airplane.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, but it's sometimes you get amazing rewards. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you help people. Sometimes you don't. But it's all good. It's all worthwhile. Unless you're exhausted and you need to go home because you're an introvert, then go home. It's okay. But put all your energy into it when you have the time and the interest.
Yeah, bring your A game.
Or be like Bella. Be like Bella. That's what I'm going to say now at dinner tonight.
I'm going to say be like Deborah. This was such an amazing conversation. And I'm so grateful to have had you on the Smart Dating Academy podcast. We will absolutely have you back.
Oh,
oh my gosh, absolutely. And you and I are going to grab a glass of wine when you come to Chicago.
Well, send me your mailing address and I'll get you the updated, newly revised second edition of The Fine Art of Small Talk.
Oh my God. If you guys don't order this, I'm going to vaporize. Okay. That's it. So your host will vaporize and you don't want that to happen. So as always, if you loved this episode, go in, give us 5 stars, tell us what you loved about it. I read every single review. I love you guys. And until next week, I bid you farewell and have a psychotically optimistic week.
And be a smart dater.
Be a smart dater. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.